Tasha Torres. I'm a spinning teacher, a recovering academic, and the founder of Sheep Spot, where we're on a mission to revolutionize spinning education by using the power of online courses and communities to help spinners make more yarns they love and enjoy every step of the process. These days, I can make just about any yarn I can imagine, but believe me, I was not a natural spinner. Now, many skeins and handspun projects later, spinning allows me to express myself creatively and quiet my mind no matter how crazy the world around me gets. I created this podcast to give you both a clear strategy to become a skilled, confident, and versatile spinner, and lots of quick, actionable tactics that will level up your yarn making quickly and easily. If you're an inquisitive hand spinner, you are in the right place. And I'm so glad that you're here. Pre-drafting. It's a hot button topic among spinners. In this episode, I'm going to tell you all about how I learned to stop worrying and love pre-drafting. Hello there, darling Sheep Spotter. Welcome to episode 98 of the Sheep Spot podcast. I'm Sasha, and my job is to help you make more yarns you love. And excuse me, I'm going to apologize in advance for my voice. I got a cold in early March and basically had it for a month, and it still hasn't completely gone away. So my voice is a little froggy. So apologies, but it was time to do the podcast, so I had to do the podcast. All right, let's go. Let's talk about pre-drafting. Now, pre-drafting, which I'm going to use to mean any technique that spinners use to make the process of drafting easier before they actually start spinning. Pre-drafting is a controversial topic among spinners. Some spinners say, you know, sure, why not? And other spinners say, And for years, I was firmly in the no pre-drafting camp. And I was actually a little bit self-righteous about it. It was kind of a point of pride for me that I could just take a big old hunk of top and spin it without stripping it down. And I was, you know, very opinionated about stripping and how it messed up the prep and that it was fine for color management, but really we should all just learn to manage our fiber supply properly and then pre-drafting wouldn't be necessary. Now, I am not proud of this. Let's face it, some spinners can be judgmental about, frankly, the dumbest little things. And on this point, I was definitely a judgmental spinner. But, you know, you live and learn. And as I spun for longer and my stash got bigger, fiber just kind of sat around in my stash for longer, and I found myself spinning compacted fiber more often. At the time, I was spinning and knitting a lot, and I was also having a lot of trouble with my right thumb. And so it was hurting a little bit to draft, and so I started pre-drafting more often to loosen up the fiber and make it easier to draft. And I honestly felt a little secretive about this, like I was cheating somehow. And if you could see me right now, I basically am embodying the, you know, shrug emoji. I don't know why. But after a few years of this kind of furtive pre-drafting, a few things shifted for me. And the main thing that shifted was that I started teaching other people to spin. And I learned how much pre-drafting helps newer spinners learn to draft faster and get better results. As a teacher, pre-drafting is kind of a no-brainer if you are trying to make learning to spin easier. Because it both helps people manage their fiber supply more easily, which is something that a lot of new spinners really struggle with. And because it actually teaches your hands what drafting feels like. Maggie Casey compares pre-drafting to learning to spin on a drop spindle with the park and draft method, in that it's a way to break the process of spinning down into smaller steps and make it less overwhelming. So if you don't know what park and draft is, it's a way of learning how to spin on a drop spindle where you basically break down, you break the process into parts. So spinning the spindle is one part, and then actually doing the drafting is a different part. So you're not trying to draft while your spindle is spinning. You are, you're building up twist by starting the spindle, and then you're parking it, usually between your knees, and then you're doing the drafting. And pre-drafting is like that. And breaking this process of spinning down and helping people focus on one thing at a time is pretty much my whole spinning pedagogy right there. And I had this technique that could make learning to spin easier. So, of course, I was going to use it and teach it to my students. And the realization that pre-drafting is just, it's just a useful tool in certain situations, let me relax about it. And that in turn led me to a surprising discovery, which is that I actually love pre-drafting. I just love the physical act of it. I find it really soothing and fun. And now I do it more often than not just because I enjoy it. So in the rest of this episode, I'm going to define pre-drafting. I'm going to explain how to do it. And I'm going to tell you about when I do and don't pre-draft. And finally, I'm going to tell you my only hard and fast rule about how not to pre-draft. So I don't have many hard and fast rules, but I do have one here. So let's dive in. First off, what the heck is pre-drafting? So I consider pre-drafting to be any technique that you use to loosen up compacted fiber to make drafting easier, or any technique that you use to make managing your fiber supply easier. So let's talk about loosening up compacted fiber first. There are a few ways to do this. You can attenuate the fibers lengthwise, and I'm going to talk about how you actually do all of these things in a minute, so hang tight. So the first thing is you can attenuate the fibers lengthwise until they begin to slip past each other, or you can kind of fluff up the fibers by giving them a little shake or a snap, or you can pull compacted fibers apart. So if you're working with, say, a strip of fiber that's compacted, rather than pulling lengthwise until the fibers start to move, you can pull widthwise, I guess would be the word. You can, so you're actually taking your strip of fiber, and rather than making it longer, as you would when you're attenuating your fiber, you're actually making that strip wider by pulling the fibers apart. And in terms of making managing your fiber supply easier, that could be making a wide strip of fiber into less wide strips. Or it could be any other way of making a large mass of fiber into a smaller one, say when you're dividing up a bat before spinning. So let's talk about how to pre-draft. So, and we're going to talk about loosening up compacted fiber first, and then talk about giving yourself a more manageable fiber supply. So when you're loosening up compacted fiber, like a hand-dyed comb top, for example, by attenuating it, your first step is always going to be to just check the staple length. because you're going to want your hands to be a little bit farther apart than the staple length, but not much farther apart. So the way I pre-draft or attenuate my fiber is that I hold the fiber in my left hand a bit more than a staple length from the end of the piece of fiber I'm working with. And I usually brace that hand, my left hand, against a tabletop or against my leg. So that hand doesn't move at all. And then with the other hand, you pull gently and slowly until you feel the fibers just start to slide against each other. And then you stop. So you're just getting them to the point where they're moving easily and no more. And then you move your hand down a bit more than a staple length so that they're both holding, so both your hands are working with fiber that hasn't yet been pre-drafted. And then you're going to hold one steady and pull with the other hand again until the fiber starts to move. And then you're going to stop. So that's how attenuating your fiber works. And it gives you it's a great way to sort of get the feel of how fiber is going to draft before you even sit down at the wheel. Now, if you want to, you've got something that's just a little bit compacted and you just want to kind of fluff it up a little bit, the way I do this is to hold one end of a strip of the fiber and then just sort of snap it with a flick of my wrist, like cracking a whip. And as I was writing this, I was thinking, are they going to know what cracking a whip is like? I used to ride horses when I was a kid, and I did not whip any horses. I just want to be very clear about that. But there is a way of exercising horses. It's called lunging. And it's basically you're in the center of the circle. The horse is at the end of a long rope, and it's moving around you. And part of that process is usually having a fairly long whip, which again, you're not going to use on the horse, but you're just going to use it to kind of encourage them a little bit. But when there aren't horses around and when you're 12 and you have this really fun whip, then you are definitely going to try to crack that whip. So it's the same wrist motion as if you were trying to crack a whip, which is basically just flicking your wrist. So if you're working with really short fibers, I would advise that you don't try to attenuate lengthwise, but you rather pull the fiber sideways gently to open them up. It's really hard to pre-draft very, very short fibers evenly. And so I just recommend that you don't even really try. Just fluff them up by widening the fiber mass rather than by lengthening it. Now, let's talk about how you can divide up your fiber in order to give yourself a more manageable fiber supply. So if you're working with a long strip of fiber and you want to work with a thinner strip, you just hold the strip up vertically, poke your finger through it, however wide you want your strip to be. That's going to determine where you poke your finger through. And do this a few inches down from the end of the fiber. Poke your finger through and then tear the top apart. So like you've got your finger through it and then you're just going to take each of your hands and pull apart at that point. You can first tear up to the top and then tear to the bottom of whatever it is you're working with. If you're working with a bat, you have tons of options. Most of us don't like to spin with a whole huge bat in our hands. So you can pull it into strips. You can make it into chunks. For a very dense bat, I often pull it into strips and then attenuate them lengthwise the way I would comb top. And if you hate making joins, you can even attenuate the entire bat into one long strip this way. This takes practice, but it is a really good way to get better at pre-drafting. And I'll just add a note here to check out episode 60 for a lot more ideas about how to prepare a bat for spinning and a review of Jillian Marino's video class, 12 plus ways to spin a bat. And of course, I will put links to both of those in the show notes. So let's talk about some possible reasons not to pre-draft. So there are some situations in which you might not want to. So here are a couple things to be aware of. If you are working with comb top and you strip it down, you are going to make the fibers somewhat less aligned. So you're changing the prep a little bit if you strip down the fiber. And if you're trying to spin an absolutely perfectly worsted yarn, you might notice a small difference in the yarn, or you might not. I never have, honestly. And in Maggie Casey's video class on pre-drafting, which I will also link in the show notes, she actually tested this by spinning two yarns, identical fiber, identical prep, one with pre-drafted fiber and one without. And then she made swatches with each yarn. And she could not tell the difference, and neither could her spinning group. So just saying, I don't think it really makes as much of a difference as people seem to fear that it will. And as I say, I've never been able to notice a difference. But it's something to know. You are changing the prep a little bit. So that's the first thing. The second thing is that if you are spinning a hand-dyed, multicolored top, you should be aware, and again, there's no right or wrong here, but just be aware that attenuating your fiber lengthwise is going to make a difference in how color shows up in your final yarn. And the reason for that is that pre-drafting makes the shift from one color to another longer and more gradual than if you don't pre-draft it. So if you, for some reason, are wanting very abrupt and dramatic shifts in color, I would recommend that you don't pre-draft. You're going to get more blending of color by pre-drafting. And also, you should be aware that stripping your fiber will mean that you have shorter lengths of each color. And that's obviously how fractal spinning works. And if you don't know what fractal spinning is, you know, get in touch and let me know that and I'll do an episode on it. I kind of assume that that's something that most people know about, but let me know if it's not. All right. So there are two reasons possibly not to pre-draft. So one is that you're changing the prep. The other is you are definitely going to, and it's going to be noticeable, you're definitely going to change the way color shows up in your yarn. Now I want to talk about some other reasons that you might want to pre-draft. So we've already talked about how pre-drafting makes drafting at the wheel easier, and it can give you a smaller amount of fiber to manage at one time. So here are some other reasons to pre-draft. And number one, and this is my reason, it just allows you to spend more time with your fiber, which, you know, who doesn't want to spend more time with their fiber? So that's a lot of the reason I do it. Number two is probably, well, no, two and three are both kind of important. You can learn a ton about your fiber and how it's been prepared by pre-drafting it. So it will help you identify your staple length. And it will also allow you to get used to the feel of drafting that fiber before you sit down at your wheel. And I think of it as analogous to swatching when I'm working with a new yarn for a knitting project. It's just, that's my opportunity to get to know that particular yarn and before the stakes are at all high, right? And I think you can gather so much valuable information about what a particular fiber is going to be like to spin by pre-drafting it. Number three, it saves wear and tear on your hands because you're not fighting with your fiber to get it to draft. You've done that work already, and you've done it in a way that involves just bigger muscles and more of your hand. So if you're spinning short forward draft and your fiber is super compacted, you're going to have to use a lot of pressure on that thumb in order to get thumb and forefinger in order to get that fiber to draft. By pre-drafting, you're just using your whole hand and a little bit of your, you know, kind of forearm and elbow. And so less wear and tear on the more delicate parts of your hand. So that's super important if you have problems or issues with your hands. Number four, it can really help with consistency just by making the drafting process easier. When I'm spinning something that's compacted or that has parts that are compacted, it's harder to spin that consistently because I don't know how hard to pull when I'm drafting, if you see my point. If it's varying through the length of the fiber, then my drafting is going to have to change. If I've smoothed all that out in advance, then I've smoothed all that out in advance and the drafting just goes more smoothly and it's easier to keep my movements consistent. Number five, lots of comb top is easier to draft from one end than it is to draft from the other end. So top is some top, some more than others, because of the way it's made, it has a directionality to it. So there's one end that where you can draft more easily than the other. And when you're pre-drafting, you can actually figure that out and kind of set up your little fiber nest so that you're always spinning from the end of the top that's easier to draft. And finally, number six, it's a chance to take anything out of your fiber that you don't want in your yarn. So if you're working with a roving that has some VM in it or a hand-dyed braid that's got some felty bits from being handled during the dyeing process, you can just take those out during pre-drafting and not have to stop when you're spinning. And that's, I would say, my the biggest reasons I pre-draft are, one, it allows me to spend more time with my fiber. But the second thing is number six. I just want to get all those little felty bits and as much of the VM out as I can before I actually sit down to spin. Okay, so that brings us to my one hard and fast pre-drafting rule. So if you're multitasking, come back to me. Here's the rule. Don't make your fiber so thin during pre-drafting that you don't have to draft while you are actually spinning. Now, everything that you read or watch about pre-drafting will tell you not to do this. So you'll hear this rule everywhere. It's pretty consistent. I couldn't find much on why this is a bad idea in my research for this episode. The only thing I could find on it is a blog post by Abby Francomont, that spinning genius, from 2007, and it's brilliant. And here is what she says. When you spin, you aren't using a tool to turn a material into a product. You're not using a spindle or a wheel to make wool or other fiber into yarn. I know, this sounds completely bogus, and the next part sounds like a cheesy bumper sticker, but here goes. Visualize yourself controlling twist. Twist is a force of nature, and you are its boss. It wants to eat your fiber. Are you going to let it? Eventually, but you're going to feed it in a controlled way because you are the boss of it, or you will be, and you know what's best. And I love this quote so much from Abby because the bit about what you're actually doing when you're spinning is controlling twist, I think, is so important, and it's often overlooked, or we kind of tend to bypass that really core fact about spinning. The only way that you can learn to control twist is by actually drafting while your fiber is being twisted. And if you're just feeding fiber willy-nilly into your orifice, you're never going to be able to really learn how to control twist, which is what spinning is. So I want you to repeat after me. Don't make your fiber so thin during pre-drafting that you don't need to draft when you spin. Otherwise, pre-drafting is a tool. Use it when you want to. As always, there is a post in the flock, which is Sheepspot's free online community for inquisitive hand spinners, dedicated to comments on and discussion of this episode. I would love to know when and how you use pre-drafting in your spinning. So I will link to that thread in the show notes, which you can find at sheepspot.com/podcast/episode98. So this was a little bit longer episode than usual. Turns out I have a lot to say about pre-drafting. Who knew? But that's it for me this time. I will be back next time with another episode on drafting. And while you're waiting for that episode to drop, go ahead and spin something. You know it will do you good. Have you joined the flock yet? The flock is Sheepspot's free online community for inquisitive hand spinners. As a member, you'll get access to a complete library of podcast episodes, all the free resources I've created for the podcast, several self-guided challenges, our Friday spinning check-in, and more. Head to theflock.sheepspot.com to sign up.